Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Kesuvos Daf Chav Tes. We begin the third perek, Elu Naros, and we're learning today Le'ili Shmas Tzertel Bas Rebchaya Neir. All the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. So we begin at the very top of the Yomud, the brand new Mishnah. Elu Naros She'esh Lehem Knas. The following women are entitled to receive Knas. What do we mean here by receive Knas? We're talking here about Rachman al-Islan. If a woman is assaulted, if a woman has the status of being an anusa, she's raped, she's assaulted by somebody. Therefore, the Torah prescribes in this situation that she's entitled to get 50 shkolim as a penalty for the horrific assault for which she suffered. Now, it's critically important to say this doesn't mean that that's an acceptable behavior for a person to Rahman al-Islam assault a woman and then just pay 50 shkolim and everything is fine and dandy. But this is the penalty, the financial penalty that the Torah instituted, not discussing the other punishments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to such a person for doing such a vile act. So, this knas is what we're referring to over here. Now, there's also a knas that is given to the father of a mafuta, a woman who's seduced. She doesn't get that entitlement because she was an active, willing partner in that situation, but her father, under certain situations, is entitled to get that knas. Here we're talking about an anusa, the woman herself, and sometimes her father, is entitled to get this 50 shkolim. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us here. Elu Naros She'esh Lehem Knas. The following women are entitled to get the knas of being an anusa for Rachman al-Islan, they're raped. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, because our Mishnah is only talking about women who have a lineage that is blemished in some way, and the Gemara is going to ask the question, which Rashi brings down over here. Are we dealing only over here with a woman who's a psula? So the women who aren't the psula, they don't get knas. As Rashi questions in Dira Maska HaBoal HaMamzeres, he says, B'gmora Parach, Avok Ksheros Lo. Our Mishnah seems to only list women who are psulos that get a knas. So the Ksheros don't. So of course the Gemara is going to say that it had to list the psulos because you might have thought that they don't get a knas. Of course, the Ksheros would get this knas. So who are these women that the Mishnah listed are psulos that are entitled to get the knas? So Habo'al HaMamzeres, if a person, Rachman al-San, rapes a Mamzeres. A Mamzeres, of course, is a person that he's not allowed to marry. A Mamzeres is a woman who's not permitted lovo la kahal, and at the same time, even though you can't stay married to her, which is, of course, the right of the woman who's Rachman al-Islan raped, if she wishes to, the ones, the person who raped her, has to marry her and is never allowed to divorce her. Again, we're not talking necessarily about a rape in a situation where the woman didn't know the person at all. It could be that she did know him, and unfortunately things went out of hand, and she would be interested in being married with him, and at the same time, if she doesn't want to, of course she doesn't have to, but if she does marry him, he's not allowed to go and divorce her. So this woman who's a Mamzeres is not allowed to be married to this person, and one might have thought, therefore, that she's not entitled to the Knas, so the Mishnah is telling us, no, she's entitled to the Knas in this situation, even though she can't marry him. Similarly with the Al-Hanasina, the person assaults an Asina. Asina are the women from the Givonim. The Givonim were one of the Zion Umos that lived in Eretz Yisrael. They tricked Yehoshua into thinking that they were from faraway place, and technically Yehoshua didn't have to follow through on his Tanai, but that would have been a Chilul Hashem if he had broken his Tanai with them, that they would be held in peace, and therefore the Nesinim were put aside. And Rashi brings down the pasuk, why are they called Nesinim? He says, but yet name Yehoshua Chotvei Eitzim V'Shovei Moim. Yehoshua designated them, he put them as being these water carriers and tree choppers, and therefore they were given the name of Nesinim from Vayit name. In any event, during the days of David HaMelech, an additional gzeira was made of them. As a machlokus Rashi tells us another Rishonim over here, exactly what point in time the Nesinim were Osir, were they Osir Midaraisa, were they Osir Midirabanon, did David make a permanent Isser on them? So there are a number of different opinions as to what exactly happened. The bottom line is that you're certainly not allowed to have the Nesinim come la kahal, either Daraisa or Midirabanon, and this concept, therefore, of the Nesinim not being able to marry into the Kahal is the same like the Mamzeres. You might have thought that she's not entitled, therefore, to the Knas of being an Anusa, so therefore the Mishnah tells us that she is entitled to. And then we have the next one is the Al HaKusis. The Kusim, of course, the women who came from a place called Kuta, the modus operandi of Sancheriv, when he conquered all the countries of the world, except Yerushalayim. Of course, we remember the famous story where Sancheriv was stopped miraculously by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he lost his entire army. Only he, his two sons, and Nebuchadnezzar survived that. Nebuchadnezzar was his scribe, and ultimately Sancheriv went back with his tail between his legs, and his two sons ultimately killed him. and Nebuchadnezzar then eventually rose to power and became, unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar. And in any event, so the modus operandi of Sennacherib was that he would go and displace a nation that he conquered and move them to another place. So he took the people who lived in Kuta and he moved them to the Shomron. And they, therefore, were going to be hopefully less likely to rebel. In any event, they were Goyim, but the lions attacked them, and they said, the god of this land obviously is interested in us converting to become Jews. That's why he sent lions to attack us, and they converted. And throughout the Mishnayos, we have this discussion as to what is the status of the Kusim, whether they were true Gerim, or they were what were called Gerei Aroyos, with an Aleph. And as a result, their status of being Lovo Lakol, of whether you're permitted to marry them, was that you shouldn't go and marry the Kusim. And therefore, one might have thought that since you can't marry the Kusis, the woman from Kuta, these women, you might not therefore have to pay the Knas. So Amish is telling us that indeed you have to pay the Knas if you have relations with the Mamzeris, an Asino, or a Kutis against their will, so then you have to pay the Knas even though you can't stay married to them. Now the next group is a group of women that you are allowed to stay married to, but there is some potential blemish over here that we needed the Mishnah to tell us that there still is a knas in this situation. So if somebody, Rechmona Lusan, assaulted a Boal HaGioris, a woman who converted, she was a Goita, and now she became a from a woman. Valashvuya, a woman who was a Jewish woman who was captured, and therefore there is a concern that she was assaulted, as we discussed in the last parak. Valashivcha, a woman who was a Shivcha Kinanis, and then she became a Gioris, she was freed, so she becomes a full-fledged Yiddish girl. So in these situations, Sheniftu, if they were redeemed, the Shivuya, now again we pointed out earlier when we had this Mishnah brought down, it's out of order. We have the Gioris, Shivuya, and Shivcha. It should have said the Gioris that was Nizgaira, but it doesn't have that order. It has first Sheniftu, and then it has the Shinizgaira, Shinishtachu. So a number of reasons we gave then, just say over one quickly now, and that is because the Gioris is the least objectionable case over here. We don't want to start off saying, but the Shvuya, a woman who was captured and Nebuch was assaulted. So we start off with the Gioris, which is the best case scenario over here, that a woman who was a Goita, who then saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the right way to go and became a Gioris Tzedek. So therefore we start off with that. But then when we have the explanations of what happened to them, so then we go back to the Shvuya, Sheniftu, Vishinishkairu, Vishinishtachu. In any event, all of these women would not be eligible to go and marry a Kohen because they unfortunately have a blemish on them that makes them not eligible to marry a Kohen. Now, the reason that they're not eligible to marry a Kohen is because there's a presumption that they had relations. Now, if they were older than 3 years old, so then they're no longer a Basula and they had inappropriate relations that would possible them from marrying a Kohen. But here we're talking about, as the Mishnah says, Sheniftu, Vishinishkairu, Vishinishtachu, Pechusos, Vibosh, Shalosh, Shalom, Yomechad. These women all either converted or had their capture, they were redeemed, or they were mishtachreres, they were freed, all before the age of 3 years old and 1 day. And we had already previously mentioned many, many times in Yevamos, as well as in this Mesechta, that the besulim of such women regrows. The fact that they physically lost their besulim, if they had relations, or even the presumption that they had relations before the age of 3 years old and 1 day, so their besulim, their physical characteristic of being a besula, will regrow. And therefore, these women are halachically considered a besula. And the din of anusa applies only to a besula. The top Rashi on this daf, the first Rashi in this parak, tells us that this is dafka na'aros. Dafka na'aros, mishevi yashtei sa'aros, achetibager. Our Mishnah is the opinion of our mayors, we'll see in the Gemara, and Rashi explains that we're dealing here over here with a Besula who is in the age of Naris, which means from 12 years until 12 years and 6 months. From the time she Vishtei Saros, which is 12 years, Achati Bagar, until she comes to Ogeris, which is at 6 months later. This is the 6 month period of time from the start or the onset of Naros until the onset of Bagrus. But a girl who is younger than 12 years old, or a Bogeretz, a girl who is older than 12 years old and 6 months, and Lem Knas, the din of Knas doesn't apply. And the din of Knas only applies to a Besula. So all of these women that we just mentioned, Sheniftu, Sheniskayru, Sheniskayru, Chusus, Mibno, Shalu, Shalom, Yom Echad, are halachically considered Besula, and if they were to be assaulted, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, between the ages of 12 and 12 years and 6 months, so then they would be entitled to a Knas as a Besula. I should also point out that this 50 shkalim that we're talking about, which will derive from Mefuta, the Anusa Mefuta, the Psukim, derive one to the other. One we don't know the amount, the other one we don't know that is shkalim. So this is just a pure knas. There are then additional financial penalties that might also be applicable in terms of Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, and Boshes. Now we go to the last part of the Mishnah, which deals with another group of people. This group of people, one might have thought that the Knas doesn't apply because there is an Isser involved in having relations with them, an Isser of Kares. And the Isser of Kares, one might have thought, should therefore prevent the Knas from being applicable. We have a rule in Halacha that kom le midirab minei. I always give the example that if on Shabbos you were to go and shoot somebody, so you would go and rip their shirt while you go and kill them, so you're a potter from paying for the shirt that you ripped while you killed them, because the kom le midirab minei principle means that you only get the higher punishment and not the lower punishment. So there is a financial penalty in terms of ripping the shirt that is negated by the fact that you killed the person. So the chiyuv of killing the person is kom le midirab minei. You pay the higher penalty for killing the person. You chayv mises based in, and you don't have the obligation to pay the financial component of that action. It has to come at the same time. I give the example of it on Shabbos. The same thing would apply if you killed a person on a weekday. I said Shabbos because in case, even if you didn't kill the person, you'd be chayiv for being mechalal Shabbos, and therefore the same kom le midirab minei principle would apply. Even if you didn't kill the person, you wouldn't be chayiv mises beis din, but you'd be chayiv skila because of desecrating the Shabbos, and that occurred at the exact moment that you did the financial damage, and therefore kom le midirab minei applies. So our third part of the Mishnah is telling us that when there's an Isser of Kares involved, every one of these Isurim is an Isser of Kares, so one might have thought that you apply the principle of Kom Le Midirab Minei here too as well. So the Mishnah is being Mechadish to us that no, Kom Le Midirab Minei doesn't apply with an Isser of Kares. It only applies with an Isser, for example, of Mises Beistin. And what is this third group of people? Habo'al Achoso. If Rachmana Litzlan, somebody assaulted his sister. So there is a Knas in this situation, even though he did a horrible sin, for which he's Chayev Kares, so there is also a penalty over here of the 50 Shkolim, the Knas. Or if he had Rachmana Litzlan assaulted the Alachos Obir, he assaulted his aunt, his father's sister, or the Alachos Ima, or his mother's sister. A maternal or paternal aunt is an Isser of Kares, but the din of Kom Le Midirab Minei doesn't apply, and he would be still, in addition to being Chayev Kares, would still have to pay the Knas of the 50 Shkolim. Or the Alachos Ishto, a person is forbidden through an Isser of Kares to go and marry his wife's sister while his wife is still alive. Now, even if he divorces his wife, he's still not allowed to marry his wife's sister. But Rachmana Litzlan, if a person's wife were to pass away, then he is permitted to marry the sister. This is the exception I mentioned many times to all the rules of the Arayas, where in general, the rules of Arayas apply even after the marriage is no longer present, either because of death or divorce. But here, this is the one exception, which I mentioned previously, is teleologically understood, because the person will often have children, young children, if his wife Nebuch dies during childbirth, which was very common in those days, so they frequently would go and marry the wife's sister to go and help raise the family, because who would love those children as much as the maternal aunt? So this is an Isser, Alachos Ishto, is while his wife is alive. So it's an Isser of Kares to have relations with that sister. So if the person were to go and assault that sister, in addition to being Chayiv Kares, he would be Chayiv the Knas as well. Now, the next one is a little bit harder to understand, because it's al-Eishes Ochiv. If you were to have relations with your sister-in-law, your brother's wife. Now, we're assuming here, as Rashi points out, that they never consummated the marriage. As Rashi tells us in Dibur HaMaschil, al-Eishes Ochiv, Shiniskachel al-Yochiv, that this girl had become first stage of marriage to his brother, but Vigirsha, but he divorced her before she, in fact, had consummated the marriage, before the second stage of marriage. And therefore, she is still a Basula. That's critical, because the Knas only applies to Basula. But this woman is forever forbidden to marry him because of the Yisr of Eishes Ach. Now, in this situation, they're not married. They got divorced. Because if they still were married, then it would be a Mises Beis Din, and then there would be Kom Le Midirab Minei, and in fact, there wouldn't be a Knas. So here we're talking about there's just an Isser of Kares at this point in time, not an Isser of adultery. And therefore, the Isser of Kares from Eishes Ach doesn't negate the Knas. Likewise, V'al Eishes Achiyoviv, if you were to have relations with your uncle, your paternal uncle's wife, so then in that situation, we're again dealing, Rashi points out, with a situation, they only had the first stage of marriage, they never consummated the marriage with chuppah, and therefore, after he divorces her, so she's still a basula. In both of these situations, there is the din of knas, even though there was an issue of kares. And finally, Valanida, if a person would have relations with a woman who's a nida, so that's an isser of kares, and yet if she's a basula, there will be a knas in this situation. As the Mishnah tells us, yeishlam knas. All of these women that we mentioned, the first and second and third parts of the Mishnah, all of these women have the din of knas. And this is true, afal pi shein bekares. In the third section, even though there's an isser of kares, ein bohem mises based, and since there is not mises based in every one of these situations, so we don't apply the principle of komle midirab mine. Okay, that's our Mishnah, and we begin the Gemara now. The Gemara talks often tells us, Hanei Naoros Basulos Islu Knas Ksheris Lo. Our Mishnah only listed people who have some sort of a pagam that you're not allowed to go marry that woman. So our Mishnah is seemingly suggesting that the Knas is only applicable in those situations, but not for a woman who's Ksheris. Now, it doesn't imply that these women, the sister of the person, there's nothing wrong with her. It's just that there's an Isser involved in having relations with her. So when we say over here the term Psulos, it doesn't imply a pejorative term. It just means that they're Asura to him, and a rapist. So in this situation, they're called Psulos. But implying that a woman who would be permissible to marry Melechatchila and Bidiyevet, Ksheros Lo, they don't have a Knas. The Gemara says, obviously they do. Halki Kamar. We needed to tell our Mishnah, Elu Noros Psulos, Sheishlem Knas, and because we might have thought that they don't get entitled to Knas, and therefore it tells us, Habala Mazeres, Alansina, Alakusis, etc. So these women are all entitled to Knas, even though there was some either blemish involved, or there was a potential that you might have thought that they're not considered a Basula, or that there was an issue of Karis involved. Now, the Gemara tells us that Naro in, we started off the Mishnah with the words Elu Naros, these are only the Naros, the women between the ages of 12 years old and 12 years old and 6 months. So not Ketanos and not Bogoros. So in this situation, it says only a Nara has the din of Knas if she's a Basula. But Ketana lo, but a girl before the age of Naros, before the age of 12 years old, is not entitled to Knas. So who's the author of our Mishnah, Mantana, on Rav Yudam Arav, Rav Meir? This can be only the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that a Ketana is not entitled to the Knas. The opinion of the Chacham is that a Ketana, as well as a Nara, is entitled to the Knas. So from the fact that our Mishnah uses the Losh of Elu Na'aros, Sheishlem Knas, this obviously is the opinion of Rav Meir. The Tanya, where do we see this? In the following Brisa. Ketana mibas yom echad, the Achitovish Dei Saros, a Ketana, a girl who is one day old, until she reaches the age of Naros, which is 12 years old, when she has Shtei Saros, so Yesh Lo Mecha, the father is entitled to go and sell her as a Amoho Ivriya. This usually was only sanctioned or considered to be acceptable in a situation where Nebuch, the father, couldn't support her. So he would go and sell her, and the intention was that the person who bought her or the person who bought her's son would marry her, and the sale would be basically the dowry that would be brought in, and they would hopefully then do what's called yud, yadah. So they would go and marry her, either the person who she was being sold to, but more likely the son of the person that she was being sold to because of the age difference, and therefore in this situation the father has the halachic right to go and sell his daughter as an amor avriya until she reaches the age of 12 years old. Now, Rashi points out that you might have thought that even after the age of 12, he'd be allowed to sell her during the Naris period of time, so we have a Kal V'chomer. And Rashi brings down, in Dibra Maskel, V'ein Lo Mecher, he says, Kal V'chomer, Mechura Kvar Yotza, Achshav She'eno Mechura Eino Din Shelo Timacher. So a woman who was sold as an Amo Evriya, this young girl that's sold as an Amo Evriya, so she goes out of that status if the person doesn't want to marry her, so she leaves that status when she reaches the age of Naris. So it's either 6 years, or when she reaches the age of Naris, whichever one comes first. So if she goes out of this status of being an Amo Evriya at the age of Naris, so certainly she can't enter into the stage of Amo Evriya when she's a Nara. So therefore, this Brisa tells us that a girl who is a katana from one day old up until the age of Naris, until the age of 12 years old, when she's Meviya Shtei Saros, there is a din of Mecha, the father's allowed to sell her, but during that period of time, there ain't no Knas, but there is no Knas. If she's assaulted during this period of time, she's not considered a woman who is an Anusa for getting the 50 Shkolim Knas. However, Umishitobi Shtei Saros, the Achati Bagir, but from the age of 12 years until 12 years and 6 months, what's called Naris, so in that situation, Yeshla Knas, she does in fact have a Knas. There is a requirement for the person who's ma'aneser to pay the 50 shkolim. However, bein lo mecher, diri Rameir. This is the opinion of Rameir that says at this point in time, that's when the din of knas starts. But As we just pointed out, there is no din of mecher anymore based upon the kav chomer that we just mentioned. So that's the opinion of Meir. So the two never go together. If there's knas, so then there can't be mecher. And if there's mecher, there is no knas. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Shoy Rav Meir Omer, komokum sheish mecher, ain't knas. Komokum sheish knas, ain't mecher. The two go hand in hand. They're opposite with each other. When you have mecher, you don't have knas. If you have knas, you don't have mecher. Fine. The Chum disagree. The Chum Omer, no. Kitana mi bashlolo shonim v'yom echad v'achati boger yesh la knas. A kitana who is assaulted. Now here we use the time of 3 years and 1 day, because up until that point in time, it's not considered that somebody had beer with her, even though there was a physical act that looks like it's relations. So that is not halachically considered relations before the age of 3 years old. She's not yet considered ru'uya labia before the age of 3 years old and 1 day, and that's why this din of knas only applies for a three-year-old girl and 1 day up until the age of 12 years and 6 months. Yesh lo knas during this entire period of time, not only during the naris period of time, but even during the ketana period of time when she is ru'uya labia. And of course, the chacham agree that there is no mecher after the age of naris, when naris starts, because of the same kav v'chomer we mentioned before. And they do, of course, agree that there's mecher. The mecher starts even from 1 day old. A father is permitted to go and marry off his daughter, or to go and sell off his daughter for the hopefully for purposes of being an omer of riyah, to become married through yid, and that occurs even from 1 day old. That doesn't require 3 years and 1 day. In any event, so obviously, this brisa clearly shows that the author of our mishnah must be Rav Meir. Now the Gemara says, "Kenas in mecher lo." The Brisa didn't mention anything about mecher according to the Chachamim, so it seems to imply that she's entitled to a kenas during the age of katnus. But it implies, but in fact, it didn't say anything that the father is not entitled to sell it. But that can't be true. I just mentioned that they certainly hold that the father has the right to sell it. The Torah gives us that right. It's in the Psukim. So where says Amon? We turn to Chavtes Amud Beis. Af kenas. So as I mentioned, it's obvious that the Chum say, in addition to the knas that they hold, applies to a katana from the age of 3 years old and 1 day up until the start of Naris, 12 years old. So, and of course, during the Naris period of time as well, there is knas, but the mecher they hold is applicable during the entire period of katnas, even not only from 3 years old to 1 day, but even from 1 day old. Father has the right, halachically, min haTorah, should only be done under the most dire circumstances, to sell off his daughter as an omo evriah for the purposes of marriage. Now, the Gemara says, "Bahani b'nei knasininu." How can we say that all the women in our Mishnah are entitled to receive the knas? Doesn't the pasuk say, and I alluded to this already when we learned the Mishnah, "Bamai ikri kan"? We should say, "V'lo siel liisha." If a woman, rachmon l'slan, is raped, so then the rapist, assuming the woman wants it, is mechuyev to marry her and is never allowed to divorce her. So that implies isha ruilo, that it would imply that this din of anusa only applies to a woman who could be his wife. And the women that we discussed in our Mishnah, for example, the Manzeres and the Sina, the Kusis, can't be his wife. So we have two terusim over here. Amar Rish Lakish, the first one is from Rish Lakish. He says, we derive it from nara, nara, hanara. So we're dealing here with the word hanara that's extra, and since the hay is also extra from the nara, so it really says the word hanara, and we can consider that that's an extra word of nara as well as the hay, so it's hanara. Now, what pasuk are we referring to? So the pasuk says, as you can see in the Rashi, hakirasina nara nara hanara. So ba'onis, in regards to this din of onis, it says in the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, Ksiv, ki motze ish nara bisula. So there it uses the lashon of nara. And then the next pasuk, Ksiv Basrei, it says, v'nasano ish hashochev imo lavi hana'ara. Now this word hana'ara is totally unnecessary. V'darshina nara yisera, v'he yisera. So this hana'ara is two drushos, the extra nara, and then the extra ha-nara. So we have two free drushas over here, because as Rashi says, the motzi l'michta v'nasan l'aviyah. The pasuk could have said, we know we're talking about over here the father of the nara. So the pasuk could have just said, v'nasan ha'ish ha'shuchay v'imor li'avaya, instead of l'aviyah nara. So therefore, this word ha-nara is totally extra, so there's two drushas over here. The first nara was necessary to teach us this din. And then the next ha-nara is two drushas, nara and ha-nara. And therefore, we can use them to teach us this din, that chad l'kufei, you need one, the first nara, to teach us the basic din, that the din of anusa applies to a nara. And then, v'chad l'asuyei chayev ilavim, then you have one pasuk to tell us the din of knas of an anusa applies even if there's a chayev ilavim in this situation, was prohibited to marry this girl through an isra lav, and then V'chad lasu yichai v'krisus. And the second drasha of ha-na'ara, na'ara and ha-na'ara, the second drasha is to teach us that it even applies, even if there's an isser of kares, nevertheless there is a din of knas. That's Reish Lakish, learning it out from the extra word ha-na'ara. Rapapa learns it out from the extra word besulos, ha-besulos. Rapapa mar, we have the word besula, and then we have the word besulos and ha-besulos. Again, it's one word, ha-besulos, that's unnecessary over here, and we have two drashas, besulos and ha-besulos. So he's going to learn out similarly to Reish Lakish, but with the different words. And we'll ask in a moment, why doesn't each one like the other one's drasha? So again, this pasuk over here, you can see in Rashi, is b'mefate. This is talking about by a woman who is a mefuta. She's seduced. And it says over there, v'chiyefate ish b'sula. So that's the first writing of it. And then, v'kroachrina basrei. The next pasuk tells us that kesef yishkol kimoar ha-besulos. It could have just said kesef yishkol kimoar. So we know we're talking about ha-besulos. So the word the ha-besulos is unnecessary over there as well, because it could have just said the mosi lemichtav kimoar v'lishto, cannot say anything else. So again, he has the extra word ha-besulos to teach us two drushos, and these two drushos are as follows. So in the first word besula, which was necessary chad l'gufa, it teaches the basic thing that mefuta applies to a woman who is a besula, and then the chad, one of the drushos of habesulos, is lasu yichai v'lavin, to include in the din of mefuta chai v'lavin, and v'chad lasu yichai v'krisos, and the second one is to tell us that this din of mefuta applies even if there's an issur of karis involved. Now, Gemara is asking the obvious question, why didn't Reish Lakish like Rapapa's drusha, and why didn't Rapapa like Reish Lakish's drusha? So Gemara starts on and says, Rapapa, my time, lo amak Reish Lakish, why didn't Rapapa not like the na'ara, ha-na'ara, the extra word of ha-na'ara, why didn't he like that drusha? So he says, because I needed that, it wasn't extra. Rapapa says, we need that for Rabbi's drusha. In a moment we'll ask, so what does Reish Lakish do with Abaye's drusha? So in any event, right now we're saying that he needed the word Hanara to teach us what Abaye taught us. What is that? The Omar Abaye, Bo Aleho Meisa Potur, if the man, Rachmon al-Islan, did the onus on her, he raped this woman, and then she dies before he's brought to Beis Din. So then, in that situation, there is no knas. You don't pay knas to the estate. Why do we say that? Because the pasuk says shenemar. The pasuk tells us v'nosan le'avi hanara. Actually, says v'nosan le'isha shochevimo la'avi hanara. Now that implies la'avi nara for lo la'avi mesa, that she still has to be alive. That's the drasha that Abaye had, and therefore, this din of Abaye is needed, the pasuk Hanara, to teach us this din. And therefore, our Papa says, I don't have that pasuk free to teach us the din of knas applying to a lav or a koris iser. Nu Reish Lakish, my time lo makra Papa. Before we explain what does Reish Lakish do with Abaye's drasha, so we ask, why didn't he like the habesulos drasha of Rapapa? So he says, I need that. The word habesulos is extra to teach us the connection between onus and mufata. The Tanya, kesef yishkol kimo habesulos, and this teaches us that there is kesef over here of shkolim. And the more abisulos kizet. And by the mefuta, it just says that you pay 50, but it doesn't say that you pay 50 shkolim. I might have thought it means something else. So this connection between ones and mefate is a gzereshava of habisulos, and therefore, this comes to teach us that both by an ones as well as by the mefate, so then in this situation, you have the din of 50 kesef, 50 shkolim kesef, and that's why you need the word habesulos to teach us this scary shabbat. Okay, so that's why Rapapa doesn't like Reish Lakish's drasha, and Reish Lakish doesn't like Rapapa's drasha. But no, what does each one do with each other's drasha? What does Reish Lakish do with Abaye's drasha? He doesn't have that. So what does Rapapa do with Reish Lakish's drasha of the scary shabbat? So wait a second, neither of them is free. They each have to learn the other's drasha. So Gemara says, you're 100% right. Ella, she saw Kroi Ksivi. It's actually Rapapa and Reish Lakish together. Their shitas aren't separate shitas, but there actually are six drushas over here from the psukim of Nara, Nara, Hanara, and Besula, Besulos, and Habesulos. So from the extra word Ha-na'ara, we have two extra drushos. From the extra word ha-besulos, we have two extra drushos, in addition to the base drusha of Nara and Besula that's written by each of them. So we have six drushos. And Trelu Gufayu, the first two that we have the word Nara and we have the word Besula, so that's to come to teach us the basic din, that if a person is Ma'anes a girl or a person is Mafata a girl, so then there is this din of 50 Shkolim. Now, how do you know it's 50 Shkolim? That's what you need one or the other drushes for. Chad L'Abayi v'chad L'Zeri Shava. Each of them needs one of the extra drushes. We have four extra drushes over here of Ha Nara and Ha Besula. So one will teach us the din of Abaye, that in fact the din doesn't apply if the girl dies before the knas is paid. So then there is no din because you pay La Viha Nara, and that implies not La Viha Mesa. So that's one of the extra drushas. And then you need for the Gzei Rishava, the teacher said it's 50 shkolim both by the onus and by Mavata. So that's, again, four of the drushas. And then we have one extra drusha to teach us Chad Latuye Chayvi Lavim, Chad Lasuye Chayvi Krisos. And you don't need a separate one for Mavata, and you don't need a separate one for Anusa. And therefore, those are the six drushas that we have from the combination of Nara Nara, Hanara, and Besula Besulos, and Habesulos. Those are the six drushas, a combination of both Reish Lakish and Rapapa, that allow us to have all these dinim that we just brought down. Ulafuke mehaitana. Our Mishnah is not in accord with the following Tana. The following Tana says, the Tana, you learn the following Braisa, Velo Siel Isha. When the Pasuk tells us that the woman who Nebuch was Neneses, and she is to be his wife, Velo Siel Isha, if she wishes to, again, I want to stress that, she's not Mechuyevis to marry him, if she wishes to, so then she becomes his wife. So on this, Shimon HaTimni Omer, Isha Shiyesh Bo Havaya. It has to be somebody that he's allowed to go and be his wife. In other words, the Kedushin would be Chal no matter what. It's a L'chatchila permissibility. And only then is there a Kenas. But in the case of our Mishnah, where there are situations where it's not permissible to marry, so Shimon HaTimni would say that that's not acceptable. There is no Kenas in that situation. And Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, he says further, he says, Isha haru'uyo l'kaima. It has to be one who is allowed to be his wife, not only that the Kedusha would be chal, but it has to be somebody that is totally l'chatchila permissible. So he's even stricter than Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni says that if the Kedusha would be chal, even though it's a non-kosher marriage, so then it still is a knas situation. But Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh says, even a Kedusha would be chal, but they're not allowed to stay married, so then the knas doesn't apply. So the obvious question is, might be naive, what exactly, you give me a halacha l'maisa, the difference between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Menasseh? So what says, very simple. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Mamzeres Unasina, Ikim Benayim. The classical situation would be Mamzeres Unasina. Now, you're not allowed to get married to him, but the Kedushin Achal. So according to Shimon HaTimni, so this would be a situation of a Knas. And that is Lamando Ami Yesh Bavaya. According to Shimon HaTimni, so Hanami Yesh Bavaya. There is a marriage that would be chal, albeit there would be an Isser involved, but the marriage would be chal. So therefore, Shimon HaTimni say there is a Knas in this situation. As opposed to Shimon Menasseh, Lamando Ami Reuya Lekaima, it has to be permissible to marry. And in this situation, a Mamzeres and Asina is not permissible to marry, so Ha Ein Reuya Lekaima, and there would be no Knas. So that's a very simple difference between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Menasseh. But Rabbi Akiva, Damar Ein Kedushin Tosin Chayvilav, it might be Nayu. According to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Kedushin aren't Tosin, so the situation of a Mamzeres and a Nesina is no difference then between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Menasseh. In both situations, the Kedushin aren't Chal. So then, what is the nafkamina between these two shittos? Rashi does point out over here in Dibur Maskil, might be Nayu. He says Mishum Rav Shimon Menasseh Kopar. This question is really only going on Rav Shimon Menasseh because Shimon HaTimni disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, the polyglot Rabbi Akiva. So this question technically is really only going according to the Shita of Shimon Menasseh. But in any event, the Gemara is asking what would be the difference according to Rabbi Akiva between these two Shitos. So Gemara says, very simple also, Ika benayu, almona l'koin gadol ki Rabbi Simoi. This would be the situation where an almona, Rahman al-Islam, is raped by the Kohen Gadol. Again, the theoretical possibility, hopefully never, was be Lamaisa. In any event, so the Almana is raped by the Kohen Gadol, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Simoi, that would be the difference, according to Rabbi Akiva, between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon Menasseh. Why is that? Because the time, within the following Brisa, Rabbi Simoi explains as follows. Rabbi Simoi Omer, Min HaKol, also Rabbi Akiva Mamzerim. Rabbi Akiva says that every single forbidden relationship makes a Mamzer. All the Chayiv Lavim are Mamzer. One exception. Chutz Me'almon on the Kohen Gadol. And that's based upon a pasuk, as we'll see in a second. So according to Rabbi Simoi, Rabbi Akiva would say, in this situation, there is no Mamzeris, and therefore the Kiddushin are Chal between an Almona and a Kohen Gadol. And this is based upon the pasuk. Shari Yom Torah. The Torah tells us, Lo Yikach, the Almana and Grusha, the Chalola Zona, Esela, Lo Yikach, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take them, Kim Bisulami Amav, Yikach Yishah. And then it says, Lo Yichalel Zaro Biamav, Kiani Hashem Mekadishah. So therefore, this pasuk tells us that there's a Chilul over here when the Kohen Gadol marries an Almana. Chilulin who osed, this becomes a Chalola. However, the ain osim amzerin, and therefore the kedushin achal. So, according to Shimon HaTimni, in this situation, the kedushin would be chal, and therefore there would be a knas. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, since this is not a permitted marriage, granted it's not a chiv of mamzeris, but it's a forbidden marriage. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Asya says it has to be a marriage that is lechatchila allowed, and therefore there would be no knas in this situation. Mar still has one further question. Rabbi Yeshevov, according to Rabbi Yeshevov, who says, no, that's not Rabbi Akiva Shita. The Omar, Bo v'nitzvach al Akiva ben Yosef. We have to argue with Rabbi Akiva. He called them Akiva because they were colleagues. Shoy Omer, he would say, kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael, if there's a situation that bia is not allowed, havlad mamzer, that child is a mamzer no matter what. So whenever there is a forbidden aspect to the relationship, so the child is a mamzer, even a more machmeshita. So in this situation, my bimnai, what would be the difference between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Manasseh? In this situation, there is going to be no possibility of the marriage occurring if there's a lav of any sort. So how would you then have a difference between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Manasseh according to Rabbi Yesheva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva? So in this situation, the nafkamin would be Ika Benayim. We turn to Lamed Omer Aleph, Chayove Asei. Mitzri v'Adomi. This would be the commandment that you should not go and marry a Mitzri or a Adomi in the first three generations. As the top Rashi says, Chiyuvei Asei Mitzri v'Adomi is talking about Shalosh Doros, the three generations that you're not allowed to have them vote l'kol. Dor Shlishi Yavol Emidor, Sheni Lo. Only the third generation can enter into the Kahal, not the second generation. And this is a Lav Habo Michlal Asei. And that would be, according to Shimon HaTimni, that would be acceptable in this situation, that the Knas should be applicable, because the Kedusha would be Chal. But according to Shimon Manasseh, since there is an Isser aspect over here, and you're not allowed to maintain that marriage, so then there would be no potential of Knas even in this situation as well. The Gemara continues to question this and say, that only works out, Hanichal Rabbi Yesheva, this understanding of Rabbi Yesheva's opinion of Rabbi Akiva, only works out, Ilafuke mitaima de Rabbi Simoi kasi, if you're going to say that this is excluding Rabbi Simoi's Shita. Rabbi Simoi had said that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that if you have a Kohen and a woman who's forbidden to marry the Kohen, so that child is not a mamzer. And Rabbi Yesheva disagrees with that, and he says that according to Rabbi Akiva, a mamzer is any situation where it's an illicit relationship. So in that situation, we can understand the difference between Rabbi Yesheva and Rabbi Simoi. However, but if you're telling us over here that Rabbi Yesheva is just saying his own svara and not arguing with Rabbi Simoi. He's saying his own svara, and he's saying, Kol shein lo bia b'Yisrael havlad mamzer, if it's not a permitted relationship, then the child is a mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva, and that would include va'afilu chai v'yasei. He's not arguing with Rabbi Simoi, he's now coming to give his own shita. It says any chai v'yasei, including the asei of mitzvah yadomi, as well as certainly any lab, so then, my binayu, what's the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, according to this understanding of Rabbi Yesheva? Someone says there's still one option, and that would be Ika Benayi, the difference would be Ba'ula l'Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol married a girl who was not a Besula, in that situation, even Rabbi Yesheva would agree that the child is not a mamzer, and since the Kedusha would be Chal, so therefore Shimon HaTimni would say that in that situation there's a Knas. But Shimon HaNasi says, since you're not allowed to stay married to her, so then in that situation there would be no Knas. Why is this case different? What is unique about this case? Where you're telling me if the Kohen Gadol marries a Ba'ula, that this would be a situation that Kedusha Machal and the child's not a mamzer. Why is this unique as opposed to all the other situations that we spoke about? So Mori answers, the Habit Le'asei Sheno Shavu B'Kol. This is a unique asei that is just for the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to the asei, don't marry the Mitzri or the Domi Ador Shlishi, so that applies to all Jews. But this din, that the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula, is a unique din for the Kohen Gadol. Nobody else is required to marry a Besula. Everybody is allowed to marry a widow. Everybody else is allowed to marry a woman who is not a Besula. The Kohen Gadol is a unique din, and therefore this unique din, that's why it is different, and that's why this situation, the child won't be a mamzer, and therefore, according to Shimon HaTimni, the knas would apply, but according to Shimon Manasseh, he's still not allowed to do this. The kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a ba'ula, and if he does, so therefore there is no knas, because the din, according to Shimon Manasseh, is that you have to have a relationship that is mutter lechatchila. Any relationship that's not mutter lechatchila is going to lead to a situation of no knas being applied. We already went down pretty far into Lamed Amud Aleph. I'll stop over here. We still have a little bit of piece left discussing Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Manasseh. We'll save that Mitzvah for tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.